So I actually have the luxury of being fairly anti-science, or sounding fairly anti-science in a very scientific room, because I did a fellowship in primary care, an NIH-funded fellowship, but now I'm a clinician and a writer, and I actually write not for you experts, but mainly for the general public. I have a column I contribute to the Washington Post, and I write books that are for people who want to curl up in their pajamas and read something easy. And sitting here in this room, I'm reminded of a conversation I had with one of my best friends, who's a very prominent HIV researcher here in the city, who came to me a couple years ago and was very excited because he just got the several million dollar grant to study whether methamphetamine use increases your risky sexual behavior. And I said, really? You get several million dollars to study that? I've never used meth, but I can tell you that the answer will be yes. And couldn't you use that money to actually figure out how to stop the risky behavior? And I kind of feel that way today. I feel like we really can pretty much agree that nature is good for your health. But the question is, how do we hook up with it? How, as these human beings who are sitting in a room with no windows and who tend to often raise our children in rooms with no windows, or at least their life feels that way more and more, how can we use nature as an amazing health resource? And so I'm going to take that giant leap of faith that nature is good for your health and move into another zone, which is horrifically unevidence-based at this point. Dr. Frumkin already mentioned that. And talk about how we can potentially start to use this. How many clinicians are in the room, or people who have to see patients? One, two, three. Okay, a couple. And how many of you are affiliated with a hospital or make policy decisions within a hospital? One. How many of you make policy decisions within your city or county in terms of healthcare resources are going to be distributed? All right, so the circle's getting bigger here, okay. I'm definitely with the right audience. So just a little bit of background in terms of my work with this. As I explained, I'm a family physician, and I spend a lot of my days in a fairly windowless room working with people, trying to get them to change lifestyle behaviors. And I'm going to talk a lot about exercise in these next 20 minutes, not because I think that's the sole value of nature, but I think it's a big hit, and I think it's very sellable to the people that we have to convince that nature is actually good for your health and will move the dial in terms of health care. So I'm going to really focus on nature and exercise. Actually, I realized after I put this slide up that this is not true. I do have something to disclose. And that is that I recently donated money to a trailhead in West Marin. I think that makes me an investor of some sort. So I just wanted to say that. So when I think of nature prescription, it's going to take a little while to wake you up. I think Dr. Frumkin is funnier already. When I talk about nature prescriptions, I'm actually taking liberties here, and I'm going to talk about it in three main categories. One of them is just your paper prescription or your EMR prescription as a physician or health practitioner. What kind of actual motivator would you give within the patient encounter? The second one is health nature collaborations that act as, you know, programs. Dr. McCurdy spoke a lot about that, but programs that connect health and nature. And finally, the built environment, and you're going to get an excellent talk after me that touches on that, but I'm going to talk a little bit about just infrastructure and how that can serve as a proxy for a prescription. So for me, this whole adventure started with one of my columns that I wrote in the Washington Post, that I interviewed Richard Louv and some of the other superstars in the Children Nature movement, and also people in the parks, as I was starting to realize that this was a great tool for myself and my practice. And it came out in the Post, and my columns sometimes get a little bit of a reaction one way or another, but this just kind of went crazy and viral and got tons of hits. And next thing I knew, I had an enormous fan club. And it wasn't in just general readership, it was in people who were wearing green suits. You know, all those people who are custodians of parks. And all of a sudden, I was being asked to speak in a lot of public land venues and so on. And the question they kept on asking me is, you are saying something that we've known for decades. How do we convince those healthcare people that what we have is something that they want? And how do we hook up with them? And that was the question that I got over and over again. So I started to move more into this field of nature prescriptions or health prescriptions. And there's a guy who was a White House fellow who's an orthopedic surgeon named Michael Suk. And he and I teamed up as these lonely MD voices within this room of hundreds of nature voices, and realized that, and this was in 2010, the president was doing a number of town halls around the country that were jointly sponsored by the Department of Interior, the Secretaries of Agriculture, the EPA, that were to listen to issues that people had connecting health and nature, connecting themselves to the natural world. And we realized that not one of the town halls was focused on health, that they were all on land use and water use and so on. So we actually wrote a letter petitioning that they do another town hall that was focused on health and the great outdoors. And we got answers back from Health and Human Services saying, this is very odd, this is kind of a strange place for us to go with this. Eventually, putting a bunch of pressure, we ended up getting the hearing in Chicago with the agreement that Health and Human Services would actually be in charge that day and would stack the deck in terms of panels and speakers. And it was a really interesting day. Who here in the room was there that day in Chicago? Nobody. It did exist. It happened. You were there, Layla, so you can say you can back me up. Most of the panels, and it was wonderful that it happened, and Howard Koh flew in for it, who is Deputy Secretary, is that the correct title for him, and for Health and Human Services. But most of the panels were on issues like crime in the parks, lead in the soil, pretty much everything horrific that could happen to you if you stepped outside. You know, and by the end of the day, I think the whole room was paralyzed with fear and realized that we really needed to apply the precautionary principle and not go outdoors, and certainly not tell our patients to. So this is something that really started to give me a little bit more wind in my sails to, you know, team up, not literally, but, you know, emotionally with folks like Dr. Frumkin, who are doing this amazing work, and start to figure out how we can really start to make true collaborations between the great outdoors and healthcare. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the examples of prescriptions, but first of all, the stuff is based, I'm not sure where those dots come from, but it's based on about five major assumptions that you're going to have to just buy into today. And the first one is that exercise plus better nutrition plus smoking cessation really does lead to about a 70% reduction in chronic disease. And that's been shown over and over again with Masuda's work and so on. I'm not going to give you a bunch of references here. This is actually a compilation of about 50 different studies. Unfortunately, no one's done a meta-analysis yet to figure out what we can do to move the dial for people who don't exercise and make them exercise. But these are some of the biggest take-home points that you see from these studies. They're more likely to exercise if they're surrounded by attractive scenery. They're more likely to exercise if they see their neighbors walk. Which is actually something that speaks more for having outdoor access than a gym. When your neighbor sneaks off to the gym, you don't see them unless you catch them in the hallway. They're more likely to exercise, as we saw from the data, if they're less than 1 mile from a green space and have safe access to that green space. So you're not going past 10 pit bulls and through an abandoned parking lot and over a freeway to get there. That often doesn't constitute safe access. They're more likely to walk, and this one's very important, if they're walking for transportation, And that's probably even the biggest one on this list. They're more likely to walk if their health provider gives them a prescription. And this last one kills me. They're more likely to walk if their vet tells them that their pet is out of shape. Okay? So these are all really important things for you, for me in terms of assuming that nature prescriptions are good. Because as far as I know, you can't take a pet to the gym. Does anybody have a gym where you can take your pet? No. Okay. This is another big piece of the assumption. The assumption is that if the Affordable Care Act stands, we are going to have to figure out for once and for all how to keep people healthy in this country in an affordable way. And so that is going to be a very big challenge. Another big assumption in what I'm telling you is that we have this free, untapped resource out there once we have to figure out how to keep people healthy. This is my hometown of Berkeley, California. And you have to get up close to see, but actually the whole left side of this map is green space. I know it looks like there's a freeway there, but you can actually enjoy the bay biggest disparity of income in the entire country, and yet we are literally bordered by green space and have this opportunity for people of all socioeconomic levels to access that. And yet my child, who goes to public school down here close to the freeway, went on a field trip last year with some of his classmates, and we went down to the ocean, and at least 20% of the class, we went down to the water. 20% of the class had never been to the Marina Beach down there and had never stuck their toes in the water. I actually stood there and cried. It was so moving for me, a place I go every day to walk. And these children were just like, oh, I didn't know this was here. This is Camden, New Jersey, which has the dubious distinction of having some of the highest crime rates in the country. And yet, look at it, it actually has a real green infrastructure. And they're starting to do some really amazing projects with that, not only with community gardening, but also with urban walkways and corridors, which are a very important concept, which I'm sure we're going to hear about. But this idea of how do we connect people who consider themselves to not have access to green space to the green space. And the solution is not building more and more green space, but actually figuring out these green corridors. So this is a terrific untapped resource. And by the way, access to green space has also been associated with lower crime rates. I think you mentioned that in terms of... So then this is another part of the assumption, and that is that we don't have any data on nature prescriptions, but we know that exercise prescriptions work, and that when a health provider tells their patient to exercise, it does make a difference. These are not huge differences, but if you look here, VO2 max, or aerobic output from a simple exercise prescription of a physician telling a patient to just go out and move, and it wasn't a very complicated prescription at all, increased VO2 max by about 15%, and decreased systolic blood pressure. Very significant findings. And also increased perceived self-efficacy of that patient, made them feel like they were able to make a difference in their health. So, and with this one study, this exercise prescription study, this was just a physician taking 2 to 4 minutes during their visit to tell someone to exercise, and then it was a follow-up with a health educator and one follow-up phone call, and that's what gave you your bang for your buck. So what is in an exercise prescription? Because I'm kind of using that for a proxy for nature prescription right now, because this is all the data we have. I'm really pulling at threads here, folks, because, we do have a meta-analysis that came out a couple years ago in Sports Medicine. And what they found was that there was no one factor in an exercise prescription that was kind of the power piece. And then it really is kind of the whole jumble of what you end up telling someone. So these are the components that you need to give. And this is just kind of self-explanatory. But people need details. They really, you can't just tell them go out and exercise. So you need to tell them how often, how much, and perceived exertion seems to be a great way to do it. So telling people to move fast enough that they feel their heart rate going up, but they still can have a conversation is often a good way to put it to them. Duration, 20 to 30 minutes. Mode, should they walk or run? Location, and I'll get to that in a second. And then a very important part of a prescription seems to be the reporting plan. And that can either, I have my patients pick up an acorn or a pebble or something each time they go out and bring them to me in a bag in my office. That seems to work very nicely. But you can also have them text you or email you or get on a website and sign in or get a little card at the trailhead. There's many different ways to do this. But that's a piece of it that's really important. So the where to go, and this is something where we really need some concerted and collaborative input, but right now it's very disparate where you would go. Let's say you are a clinician sitting in your office. You can go to Parks and Recreation, the California.gov, for example, and there's one of these in every state, and actually find a park and give people a route that they can go on. I find that to be very successful. I'll give them a mile or 2 mile loop to do based on this website. You can go to TrailLink, which is another one. You need to sign into that and get, and I put these icons on my homepage of my EMR, so it's very easy for me to do this. And by the way, this is something we would love to do with organizations like Kaiser, get them to put these links on their EMR, you know, desktop for all their physicians. You can also just go to Google Maps and put in park and the patient's zip code, and you will get the closest parks, and you can put in trail and even get trails now. It's quite remarkable. So these are all different ways that you can do it, but there isn't one nature prescription place to sign in and actually give your patient anywhere in the country a loop to do or a park to do, and that would be wonderful. So here are some examples of health nature collaborations. We're moving away from the paper prescription or the EMR prescription to this more conceptual idea. And this is actually a mile nature trail. It's called the Medical Mile that was done in Little Rock, Arkansas. And Little Rock, Arkansas, once again, another place that has a dubious distinction of being the weightiest city in the nation and also having some of the highest rates of heart disease. And a bunch of heart doctors at Heart Clinic of Arkansas just got fed up. They said, we're just, you know, putting in stents all day. We need to feel like we're actually doing something that's on the other end of the spectrum. So they raised money and really funded what was a medical museum. It's a nature trail, but it hooks in with a larger trail system. And if you hike along it, you get medical messages. You know, they're like little plaques that tell you what to do. It cost them $2.1 million. They raised this. It links to the Arkansas River Trail. It's turned out to be a huge economic boon to the city. They've been putting in, you know, a city that wasn't doing so well financially. They've put in buildings along it now and apartment buildings and so on. And it's used by thousands of people each day. You know, they have the counts. Now, this is really interesting. This is old data, but if you look at the top 30 causes of hospitalization in Arkansas and look at their DRGs, the cost per hospitalization, and this includes congestive heart failure and patients that go in for stents and so on, the average cost per hospital visit, this was in 2007, I think, and it's one can guess that that number's doubled since then, but it was about $12,126. So take that $2.1 million and divide it by $12,126. You need 173 patients who would have gotten these procedures to not get them as a result of exercising and moving on that trail in this, for this to be cost effective over its lifetime. Now, can I prove that it saved at least 173 lives? I can't. But we can take that leap of imagination that this trail that's used by thousands of people each day probably has had some effect. So I think that these kinds of numbers are starting, you know, to be compelling. Is it the final proof that we need? No, but it's a way of looking at it. This looks like a pretty cheap proposition, is what I'm trying to say. Other health nature collaborations, this is a wonderful one in New Mexico, very high rates of type 2 diabetes. How am I doing for time? I'm almost done. These are trails that this was done in collaboration, I think, with the CDC and a number of different park organizations and Healthy New Mexico. But they actually made a website and told you how to access these trails, and if you're diabetic, what to be careful of, what shoes to wear, and so on. And there's nurses that actually know how to prescribe this. This is an example actually from San Francisco. These are some of Layla McCurdy's graduates. Those are family physicians and pediatricians on the left who've done the NEEF training. And this is another way to do health nature collaborations. These are healthcare providers who are getting out of their windowless box and actually doing healthcare on the stroll, so leading kids out into nature. What a concept. And they brought them to Chrissy Field. The doctor who's the furthest to the right in that furthest to the left picture is my associate in my practice. So, and they're working along with park rangers and teaching the kids preventive stuff. And how amazing it is to see your doctor out there hiking. They look pretty ridiculous in their white coats, but, you know, it's... And then Silver Sneakers is another way to collaborate. This is actually a for-profit healthcare benefit that you can get along with your Medicare. And it hasn't happened yet, but there is a lot of talk about them actually teaming up with public health, with trail services and so on, investing in trailheads as part of an insurance benefit. And if nothing else, when you buy this insurance benefit, you're going to get information about which trails to access and not just which gyms to go to. And this is just a final slide, and I'm hoping that in our next talk we'll get some better examples of this in the U.S. But what I wanted to show you is this idea of taking our physical health infrastructure, so our hospitals and our clinics, and actually hooking them up with our natural health system. And what we have a lot of is hospitals now who are catching on and putting trees around them or putting a little Zen center garden in the atrium or what have you. So there is this idea of nature entering the healthcare facility. But we don't have in this country is hospitals that are actually constructing trails so that you can get to clinics and hospitals on bicycles, so that gardens are part of what's happening in hospitals, so that hiking trails are sponsored by Kaiser Permanente, so that we really physically are becoming a part of our natural land system. They still very much are these isolated pieces of concrete that are out there that you have to access via a parking lot. Now, this is an example from Melbourne in Australia, where they're actually building a children's hospital right now, which is linked to nature trails and really it is a hospital without walls in a certain sense. And I know that seems a little scary because we're quite afraid of bringing germs in. But this is my vision for the future of really giving a very strong message on health. So, health nature collaborations, where do we go from here? The built environment, in terms of really trying to build our infrastructure in with trails and commuter paths and green corridors and dog parks. Yes, dog parks are a very important part of it, as we know. Open space and sports fields and gardens and farmers markets and so on. The second piece is programmatic and how to do these jointly sponsored initiatives. And I think that's probably where we have our best examples now. The things like the Healthy Trails New Mexico or the Heart Mile in Arkansas. But we need to build thousands of these around the country. And the nature folks are sitting there and waiting for you guys to give them a phone call. So they will, believe me, they are the most wonderful, most accepting and helpful people to work with. Another piece is education and interdisciplinary collaboration. What Layla McCurdy is doing is wonderful with NEEF, but this needs to become of health curricula. It needs to be a part of CME training, professional gathering workshops where we're not just speaking to ourselves, but have people from the nature world who are also in the room, and then these online resources for nature prescriptions. And then Dr. Frumkin talked you know, about health and evaluation outcomes. I just have one last plug to give there, and that is that over these many decades, park people have been collecting data. They have piles, they have rooms of stuff. The Department of the Interior, in Department of Forestry, I think a lot of people don't know that the Department of Forestry has domain over a lot of what is our public lands that we consider national parks, but they have rooms and rooms of data, and they have people who've been crunching this data for years, but they need to talk to you guys in order for us to take this and mine it for health purposes. So for any of you who are looking for your next project, make good friends with them, and they will give you, you know, you don't have to go out and do the primary research. They've been, you know, counting who walks over that little line into the park and why they're there and so on and so forth. So enjoy. Thank you.